What if somebody in the year 4008 were to take a pile of your old post-it notes and receipts and other scribblings and try to decipher from them what your life was like way back in 2008? Well, that's essentially what some researchers at Stanford University are doing, except they're analyzing the mundane paperwork of Egyptians born more than 2,000 years ago. Lonnie Shavelson has our story.
We think of Egyptian mummies as bodies preserved in loops of white linen. But they weren't just wrapped in linen. Like a delicate wine glass packed for shipping today, a mummy was often cushioned inside and out with crinkled-up paper. Back then, it was papyrus. Not new papyrus, but recycled. Papyrus people had written on.
Well, here I have a papyrus. It's written in Demotic, which is the final phase of the Egyptian language.
Tasha Dobbin, an Egyptology doctoral student at Yale, is one of 18 international students at Stanford's Papyrological Institute this summer. She's holding an Egyptian papyrus, 2,200 years old, from before Cleopatra, in her hands.
It's actually really exciting. You sort of dream to get an opportunity like this.
The papyrus was removed from a mummy. These ragged, brown, insect-chewed scraps with faded ink scrawlings were donated to Stanford around 1920 by an alumnus who found them in an antiquity store in London.
And one of the documents said that he purchased the text from what he calls a Chinaman.
Dr. Joseph Manning, a papyrologist at Stanford, says that from 1920 to just a few years ago, the papyri were forgotten, waiting to be rediscovered.
These things have been sitting in folders on a shelf for the last 60 years. Before the conservation process, it looks like a piece of paper with mud on it.
Dr. Manning had no idea what the papyri contained. He played out a hunch and brought a specialist in papyrus cleaning to Stanford. And after they were cleaned...
They were spectacular. The ink was as if it were written yesterday, very bright black against this beautiful papyrus color, light brown.
Spectacular in appearance, but Professor Manning still didn't know what they said.
The languages are difficult, very difficult handwriting sometimes. You can't just sit down and read a text in an hour. You sometimes have to spend a year maybe reading a word or two, putting it away for a while, coming back to it.
And that's where the students came in. Stanford happened to be hosting this year's Summer Institute in Papyrology. Dr. Manning put the participants to work reading the papyri.
My name is Barbara Richter. I'm a PhD candidate in Egyptology at UC Berkeley. Well, this is a marriage contract, actually a record of the woman's dowry that she's bringing to her husband. But in the case of a divorce, she gets that entire dowry returned to her, very similar to a prenup.
The papyri were mostly mundane, farming receipts, land agreements. But one tiny scrap held a stunning revelation about the Greek general Antiochus, who conquered nearly all of Egypt in 170 BC.
I'm now taking one of the papyri out of the box. Yeah, it's here. This is actually the one which is so exciting.
Papyrology professor Mark de Pau, visiting Stanford from the Netherlands, says that when Antiochus took over Egypt, he didn't have the audacity to dethrone the Egyptian king, but kept the pharaoh in place. Or so it's been thought. De Pau now holds in his hands a minute papyrus fragment with text referring to Antiochus as the pharaoh.
This is one of two documents which actually proves that he went so far and made himself pharaoh.
Why is this seemingly minor point of major significance? Because, says Dr. De Pau, the Greeks and Romans were competing for Egypt. And the Greek Antiochus somehow so irritated the Romans that year that a Roman general confronted him and demanded he withdraw from Egypt. Antiochus said he'd think about it.
And then the Roman envoy just drew a circle in the sand around him and said, "You get as much time as you want, but when you leave this circle, I want your answer."
That was the birth of the expression, drawing a line in the sand, and of line-in-the-sand diplomacy. So now we know more about what led up to that historical moment, all thanks to a faded scrap of papyrus removed from an Egyptian mummy, taken to London by a man from China, and deciphered by a Dutch papyrologist here for the summer. For The World, I'm Lonnie Shavelson, Stanford, California.